Well, one of the ways Jesus speaks to us is through the scriptures. Today we're looking at Matthew chapter 17, the Transfiguration. It's on page 694 of your Pew Bibles if you want to follow along there. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up 3 shelters, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of our Lord. Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the last Sunday of the season of Epiphany, and it is the season of the Transfiguration. Aiden, have we got that upstairs? There we go, the Transfiguration. The whole season of Epiphany is a season where God reveals himself. We have the aha moments of seeing who Jesus is. And so during the season of Epiphany, it starts with the baptism of Jesus, when no less than God speaks from the cloud, "You are my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We have the stories of the miracles of Jesus and the healings of Jesus. We see the teachings of Jesus. All these things are meant to reveal to us he is something more than just human. And this is the culmination. This always ends the season of Epiphany, because this is the ultimate revelation of who Jesus is. That the very divine nature of Jesus just bursts through his earthly flesh so that we can see what we normally don't see, that Jesus is divine. Well, this is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. And Matthew, of the 4 Gospels that are written, was written primarily to a Jewish readership. He was speaking to Jews. And so, as he tells the story, he's trying to convince them how Jesus is now the fulfillment of the Old Testament. One of the things, if you come across quotes from the Old Testament in a gospel, it's more likely to come from Matthew than anywhere else, because Matthew is constantly quoting the Old Testament as a proof text to the Jews of how Jesus has come and fulfilled all those things from the Old Testament. And so today, the way he describes the Mount of Transfiguration is showing us how Jesus now both fulfills and then brings in a new covenant with God. And so our text begins with the words, 6 days later. And if you can put the next slide up there, Aiden. 6 days later. Later than what? It doesn't tell us. It doesn't refer 6 days later than. It's just 6 days later. Because really it's not so much a chronological statement as it is a theological statement. Because it's referring back to Moses. Everything in this text takes us back to Moses. And so if you go back to Exodus 24, when Moses goes up onto Mount Sinai, we're told Moses is on Mount Sinai for 6 days. And after the sixth day, on the seventh day, the voice of God speaks to Moses from a cloud, come up the mountain and receive the Ten Commandments. And so in our text today, after 6 days, the voice of God speaks from a cloud, and Jesus is revealed as divine. And so we see what happened in the Old Testament is now being recreated, and there's a fulfillment as it happens in the New Testament. So it begins 6 days later. It ties us back, and then we get to the next statement. He went up on a high mountain. And so it was that Moses went up Mount Sinai, and Jesus goes up the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, for those of you who have been to Israel, when we went to our trip, we were on Mount Hermon, and we could see across the valley of Megiddo. And there on the other side, our guide said, "You see this little pimple up on the horizon? That's the Mount of Transfiguration." It was such a disappointment. Just this little hill that anybody could climb up. But again, it's not so much a geographical description as a theological description. So Jesus went up a small mountain, but in the text, it's going up a high mountain, just like Moses went up a mountain. So Jesus now goes up a mountain, and we see the further revelation of Jesus. And then in the next slide, we see that Jesus then turns as white as light. And once again, a good Jew know, boy, that's just the way it happened in the Old Testament. Moses goes up the mountain, he's in the presence of God, and then we're told in verse 29 of Exodus 34, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not even aware, he was radiant, because he had spoken with the Lord. And so what happens when Moses is in the presence of God? His face shines, because to be in the very presence of God, the glory of God shone on Moses' face. And now Jesus shines, not because he was in the presence of God, but because he was God. And so right out of it says his whole body, his clothes, everything began to be dazzling white. White as light. And so Moses shone because he was in the presence of God. Jesus shines because he is God. And so just like that picture I was showing in the children's sermon, you know, up to this point it just looks like squiggles, it just looks like another human being, Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, and if you remember the disciples, can anything good come out of Nazareth? When you looked at Jesus, I mean, he was a man. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, no, now we see him as he really is, the divine nature just shining through his clothes and through his earthly flesh to reveal to us the reality that Jesus is God. So all of these references are to move us from Moses to Jesus. After 6 days, up a high mountain, dazzling white light, Moses and Elijah in the Old Testament appear with him on the mountain. And all of this is a way of saying, remember how God did his thing in the Old Testament and how you believed in what he did then? Look, see, he's doing a similar thing today. He uses the same, you know, numbers and techniques, but now he's doing it with Jesus. And Jesus is the new revelation of God for us. And then we get, after all of this, verse 5 says the disciples who were up there were enshrouded in a cloud. And now for this portion, it takes us back to the baptism of Jesus. And to compare and contrast what God says from the cloud at the baptism of Jesus and at the transfiguration of Jesus. At the baptism of Jesus, God says to Jesus, "You are my son, my beloved. with you I am well pleased. And so that voice was for Jesus. He was about to begin his public ministry, and I am with you, you are my beloved, you are my son, and I'm sending you out on your mission. Now, 3 years later, he's done that ministry, and now he's speaking to us. And that cloud speaks to the disciples who were on the mountain and to us. This is my beloved son. Notice the difference, not you. This is my beloved son whom I love. Listen to him. Listen to him. And so no longer look to the Old Testament. No longer look to the Old Covenant. Listen to Jesus. He's going to bring about a new thing and a new covenant. Listen to him. When the disciples hear this voice from the cloud, they're just terror-stricken. We're told they fall down on their knees with their faces to the ground. They're in the presence of God. They can't even look up. And so then Jesus finally comes and he taps them, and they look up, and our text says, and they see no one except Jesus. Again, that's not only an empirical observation, it's a theological observation. Moses and Elijah, they're gone. The only one left is Jesus. Listen to him. See Jesus. That's what's important in our text today. And so we need to keep our eyes and keep our ears and keep our lives attuned to Jesus, because that's what God is now doing. And I love our text ends then with a little teaser. It says, don't tell anyone about this until the Son of Man has been resurrected from the dead. What? Why would Jesus say that? You've just experienced the greatest experience in your life. You've been on a mountaintop experience. You've seen Jesus glow like light. You've heard the voice of God. This is my son. Listen to him. I can't tell anyone about it. You know, that would. But Jesus is saying, I've still got a purpose. And my purpose isn't to be lifted up as king or God now. No, my purpose is to go to the cross now. And if you go out and you say, he's God, I saw him, he's divine, he's incredible, they're not going to let him go to the cross. And so Jesus says, there'll come a time for you to share, but not until after I'm raised from the dead. Not until after I've humbled myself and gone the way of the cross. First, Jesus has to go the way of the cross before he can then be elevated and worshiped. And so Jesus says, I know it's going to be tough for you guys. You've just had this mountaintop experience. It's like sunshine coming back from Curcio the other week and wanting to share about it and so excited about it and then telling sunshine, no, sorry, you can't say anything till after Lent. You got to wait to Easter before you can say a word to anybody. But I want it. No. Poor disciples, they had to be quiet. But Jesus had to humble himself. He had to go a different path. And so now we need to look at this text and see Jesus only. You know, we see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there we also hear Jesus as he says, not my will but yours be done. He doesn't want to go to the cross. I mean, he's not a masochist. He doesn't enjoy pain. Father, if this cup can pass, I'd rather it be some other way. But the humility to say, I'll do what God wants me to do. Not my will, yours be done. And then as we look at him only, we see him allowing himself to be arrested. We see him standing dumb, silent before his accusers. We see him being nailed to the cross. And finally, we have to listen to him and his words from the cross. It is finished. It is finished. Listen to him. He died on the cross. The sins of the world have been forgiven. It is finished. He's accomplished his task. And now when he is raised from the dead, now you can go out there and tell everybody all that you saw, and that he is the very presence of God, and that he is God incarnate, because he's the only one that can offer a perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. Earlier we showed that little elliptical art piece. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it there, or to look, you have to squint, but you can actually see an eye, a little heart, and you pop out on a 3D level. Now, again, some people can see it. So anybody, how many have seen it already? Okay, we've got some that can see it already. Some of you will never see it. They're just saying they see it. There's nothing there. Come on, it's just squiggles and colors. But it is one of those wonderful things. When you see it, it's not, do I think I see? No, it'll pop out. It'll be clear as day for you when you see it. It's just like, oh, that's what he's talking about. I love you. And that's the same thing again with Jesus. You see one thing, and then on the Mount of Transfiguration, oh, epiphany, I see something new and see something different. And so this picture reminds us that for many people, all they saw was Jesus as an ordinary man. They never saw anything else. But if we look closely, if the Holy Spirit guides us, we can see Jesus is more than a human. Jesus is God incarnate. And so it is that the Bible can often open us up as we read it to a deeper reality of Jesus. You see the Holy Spirit at Jesus' baptism. You see him doing miraculous things and miracles in his ministry. You hear his teachings and the Sermon on the Mount that are so deep and so wise. And finally today we see him transfigured before us. Jesus is more than what originally meets the eye. Well, some of you can see that deeper 3D, I love you. Some of you can't. And the truth is, in the world, some people see Jesus and they know him and they know I am loved by God, and some, why that doesn't pop out for them, I don't know or understand. But our text reminds us today, see only Jesus. Listen to Jesus. And when you do that, then you'll see something extraordinary. You will see God on the cross. You will hear him say, your sins are forgiven. You'll hear him say, believe in me and you will be saved. May you listen to Jesus and have the peace of salvation. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, you opened the eyes of Peter, James, and John on that mountain to see an incredible vision. We ask you would open our eyes that we may see Jesus as he really is. We may see him divine. We may see him loving. We may see him as the source of forgiveness and eternal life. Lord, open our eyes to truly see Jesus. Amen. Our worship now continues with our offering.